From early adolescence, the physical activity levels of girls drops far below boys and the gender gap never recovers. That has implications for the health and well-being of families and for the long-term health and well-being of women in general, including the incidence and prognosis of heart disease and breast cancer. The solution in the UK, well, actually England, was a revolutionary campaign called This Girl Can, which is currently being adapted for Victoria by Vic Health. Last week, the architect of This Girl Can in Britain was here in Australia. Her name is Tanya Joseph, and I got her into the RN studio.
Thank you very much.
Tell me how it all began.
I joined Sport England in 2012, and when I got there, I realised...
So this wasn't a government initiative, this was Sport England.
Sport England, which is a government agency, it's the equivalent of the Australian Sports Commission.
Right.
But just responsible for getting more people active, not any involvement in elite sport.
So the rugby and cricket can take care of itself themselves?
The national teams can, yeah. I got there and found that the organisation had no relationship with consumers. We were dependent on the sports themselves to communicate, to get people active. And I felt that that was something that we needed to address. It was particularly...
So it was arm's length. You were relying...
Completely arm's length body. Relying on the...
Softball and football and
the Football Association, the Rugby Union and all of those guys to communicate to people to be active. And they were doing it with various degrees of success. I was particularly clear that we needed to do something to address the fact that far fewer women than men are active in England. So at its worst, the gap is about 2 million. So 2 million fewer women playing sport or being active per week than men. For many reasons, you need women to be active. So lots of public policy reasons. We know that active women in a household can ensure that the rest of the household is more active.
So there was a gap. And the gap exists in Australia as well.
The gap existed. And interestingly, we found that although far fewer women were being active, 75% of those women said that they wanted to do some sport. So for me, that was a really obvious market. I'd been working in a big retailer, and if we'd seen that kind of gap, we would have jumped on it and said, we need to do everything we can to get those people.
So there's a market demand which was not being met.
Indeed. So
just for sport, or was movement enough? You wanted them to engage with organisational sport?
No, absolutely not. It wasn't just about organised sport. It was about being active. So doing exercise, going to the gym, informal sports like just going out running, just taking a bike ride. They weren't doing any of those things.
But they wanted to.
So how do we address that? How do we overcome the barriers that are stopping them?
So first step is finding out why there's this gap.
We did that. And it turned out that we had the information there all the time.
Really?
But just not looking at it properly. So this is the difference, you know, between data and insight. So we had the data. We just weren't looking at it and weren't getting the right insights out of it.
So we put ourselves
in a room for a long time with towels over our heads to try and work out what was going on there.
And the data were focus groups, surveys,
women that had been like involved that. In projects that Sport England had been doing before, that the sports had been doing all before, women who'd been giving us feedback, and they'd been saying things like, I'm not fit enough to do sport, I don't like the clothes, I'm really uncomfortable at showing my body off, I have too many things to do, I haven't got enough time, I like playing sport, but I don't want to be seen as aggressive. And, you know, after looking at all of this information for a really long time, someone, I'm afraid it wasn't me, some clever spark said, I think that what they're really saying is they're afraid of being judged. And it became really obvious then that this was, that women were exhibiting a fear of judgment, that they were being judged by other people and by themselves, that people would look at them and think, you're too fat to be doing sport, or you don't know the rules, or you should be spending time with your family when you're spending it on yourself doing sport.
And then on the other side, there was judgment of women who were too capable.
Yeah, because those women were seen as being aggressive and butch, and those aren't adjectives that women in Britain certainly like to be associated with themselves. And if you're not very good, you're rubbish, and why would you do something that you're clearly going to fail at? So there are lots and lots of things going on in people's minds.
So fear of judgment, it's not readily apparent what you do about that.
Well, what you do about that is you need to do something to tackle those behaviours, to make women feel that they are not alone in feeling like that. It's perfectly normal, and that we need to liberate them from the fears that are holding them back. And that's what the campaign set out to do. So it set out in quite bold and disruptive terms to show women that there are women like them who are finding the opportunity to bring sport and activity into their lives.
So tell us the sort of things that you did and the slogans you developed.
We deliberately set out to have quite a sassy tone of voice. It's very tongue-in-cheek, showing everyday women. These were women that we found in parks and leisure centres and supermarkets.
No actors.
No actors, no models, no no athletes. So we used everyday women to illustrate the fact that they are finding ways of being active. So you may well go for a run in the park and have jiggly bits, but that's okay. You may well do a spin class and get incredibly red in the face and sweat buckets, but that's okay. That is perfectly normal, because if you look at the imagery that we see of women exercising in the media, in social media, in magazines,
they're barely running their makeup.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you see women who apparently have finished a marathon and have got a full face of makeup and no sweat at on them at all. And we know that that's not true. So the campaign was to celebrate women in their glory.
And not many words in your ads. There were images.
It's mainly image-based. And we used a few slogans. So things like sweating like a pig, feeling like a fox, I jiggle, therefore I am. You know, some really interesting tongue-in-cheek ones. Some a little bit more serious, like I swim because I love my body, not because I hate it. And a lot of this language was coming from the women themselves.
And a great one, beautifully filmed, of this woman and her kids at home. And she's doing, you're not quite sure what's happening, but you see this baby moving and then this mother's head appearing and she's doing sit-ups with the baby on her lap.
Yeah, and that was a woman that we found in the north of England called Kelly, who wanted to get fit, to get her body back into shape, having been on maternity leave, didn't have enough time or money to go out to the gym, so decided to create a little gym in her front room and used her baby as the weight. And is now really fit because the baby's getting older and bigger. So.
And is that having an impact on the kids?
Yes, those kids are feeling, I mean, I know because I've spoken to Kelly and to her kids, and they are really, really proud of their mum. So, and it shows a mum in the impact of an active mum in the home as a really good role model.
So what infrastructure things did you have to do? So it's fine creating, so you've got a demand, which is there. You don't have to create the demand. 75% of women want to be active. You're enabling it through your advertising, which presumably was on free-to-air and on social media. You did a broad-based campaign.
We did a short above-the-line campaign. So
meaning that you pay for
We paid for some TV, some cinema, some out-of-home advertising, but most of it was living on social. Facebook,
Twitter, Instagram,
and a lot of PR. So we then need to make sure that having made these women feel positive, that when they rock up to the leisure centre or the swimming pool or the local park, that the experience
What did you do about that?
So swimming was a really interesting one because that's the sport that in England, when we asked women, okay, so you can do sport, what would you do? Most often they will say swimming. And then you say, well, why don't you swim? And there are a host of reasons.
It's 10 degrees below and there's no outdoor pools.
Oh, no one's going to swim outdoors. But practical things like, I would do it during the day, but it's such a faff. Faff is a word that was used a lot. So there isn't a hairdryer. There aren't any mirrors.
You actually did something simple like putting hooks on the wall
for lots and lots of swimming pools. There is nowhere to hang a towel or a robe by the side of the pool. In the swimming pool nearest where I work, which is a really great pool. It's warm, it's lovely, but the changing rooms are two floors away from the pool itself. So you have to walk past everyone, including the guys on the big weight machines, in your swim costume. And even when, you know, your most body confident days, it can be really, really intimidating. And women would say, I'd do it if I could just put a towel around me, if I could just have a sarong, but I can't do that because when I get to the pool, there's just a wet floor. So we worked with a range of swimming pools to make really simple changes, like get a good hairdryer, like put up good mirrors, like have hooks by the side of the pool, so that women could, you know, those little changes made a really big difference. And suddenly you get women who were going to the pool but are going more often, but more importantly, women who really wanted to go swimming but weren't able to. We also changed the attitude of some of the people that were helping in the pool. Typically, people go to a swimming pool and they're asked things like, well, can you swim a length? And if you haven't been in a pool for a really long time, the other end of the pool can look like a really long way off. So there aren't rules like that. There isn't anyone saying, how good are you? And we have these lanes and you just have to swim and be really, really serious about it. We had people around the pool that we called pool helpers who were different from the lifeguards, whose job is to be serious and to save you. But these are people who sit by the side of the pool that can give you tips, that can help you, give you confidence if you're not feeling good about it. And again, those women really made a difference and made the women that were coming to the pool, sometimes for the first time since they left school, feel good.
What about organised sport? In Australia, all women's team sports are largely on a Sunday, men's sports are on a Saturday. Did you come across that sort of issue, which is quite disruptive to families?
in team sports, some of them embraced it better than others. So rugby union did a really good job about trying to get women involved in the sport. It's been really open about trying to increase the number of women that are playing. So for some of those women, we know that women's facilities are not as good as men, and Sport England has tried really hard to make sure that there is comparable facilities for both men and women.
So if you add it all up, how much did you spend on all this?
Altogether, £10 million, which I think is about $15 million Australian dollars over about 2.5 years.
Now, you spent a lot of money on evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
What were you looking for and what did you find?
We were looking at three basic things. What were levels of awareness? Were we changing attitudes? And were we getting women to take action? And the interesting journey for me was that I thought it would happen in that order. I thought that you'd get women aware of the issue, they relate to it, that their attitudes to sport and activity would change, and then they would take action. And in fact, it didn't happen that way around. That we found that there were really high levels of awareness for the campaign pretty quickly, because it went viral, which is not something you could ever plan, but it's always amazing when it happens. So there were very high levels of awareness. And what we saw then is they kind of missed out the attitude change and they moved straight to action. So we saw women very quickly starting to do sport.
So it kind of forced the system.
Yeah. So they weren't necessarily feeling different or more positive about doing sport or exercise.
Really?
Often they would say, I really don't like it. I hate it. I feel judged when I'm doing it, but I've decided I'm going to do it anyway. So in spite of...
And did that tail off with time?
Attitudes are changing, but they're kind of lagging behind the action.
So were you able to do the numbers and extrapolate? You know, you've got that graph of women active, men active, the 2 million person difference.
We are seeing a closing of that gap, of that gender gap in participation. We know that in the first year, the campaign inspired 2.8 million women to do some or more sport, of whom 1.8 million did it for the first time.
There's your gap.
Yeah. I mean, it's been extraordinary. The impact has been amazing.
Tanya Joseph, thanks for joining us on the Health Report.
Thank you very much.
And we'll have their TV ads on our website. Tanya Joseph is the architect of This Girl Can, and Victorian listeners should watch out for Vic Health's version.